as we tune in on the American Family Robinson and Centerville today, we find Windy Bill regretting he traded away his house car, since Miss Timmons has told him she's found a buyer willing to pay $30,000 for it. Editor Luke is offering consolation for this latest misfortune, with his tongue in his cheek, however, since Luke himself is the author of Miss Timmons' little story about the house car. Luke is speaking.
Come now, Windy, tell Brother Luke all about it. Why this morbid request that I shoot and get it over with? As in short, what's eating you?
Then you weren't planning to shoot me on sight?
Why, Windy, what gave you that idea? Nothing could be further from my thoughts. Ever since you left my house, I've entertained nothing but the very highest regard for you.
And you aren't mad because I'm charging $20,000 for my property?
Why, of course not. I expect a man to do the best he can for himself. Live and let live is the motto of the moment.
That's just it, Luke. I'm not doing the best I can for myself.
Lukey,
I've made a horrible mistake.
No, I can't believe it.
Oh, yes.
You're not losing your grip, are you, Windy?
I'm afraid I am. Just think of it, Luke. $30,000 slipping right out of my grasp.
No.
Into the clutches of Miss Timmons. And I left holding the bag, practically a pauper.
What can this be? Tell me, old boy, how this could have happened to you, of all people.
Well, she got an offer of that amount for my house car from an automobile manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I traded it to her, she demands the patent rights.
Oh, that's too bad. But after all, Windy, you can refuse to give her the patent.
But Gus is on her side. And
Gus?
Yes, my bodyguard. But he turned against me. She used her feminine wiles on him, and now he threatens me. Threatens my very life.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear, the place seems overrun with people who want to shoot me, and I don't see why.
Well, I hadn't expected that.
What are you laughing at? I assure you it's far from funny.
No, nothing. I just had an idea. I think I may be able to help you, Windy.
Well, I don't see how, without getting me killed by that maniac.
Well, that has its points. If all else fails, we look into it.
Now don't joke, Luke. I can't bear it. I'm a broken man.
No, seriously, my idea is this. We've got to deal with Miss Timmons herself. Now, if we can get her to trade back your house car for her property.
Oh, if we only could.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's no use. She knows her property is worth only $500.
No, that's why you're asking $20,000, I take it.
I mean ordinarily. Letitia doesn't know about the factory wanting the place.
Well, we might tell her about it and give her the impression that she could get as much for her property as you're going to get for the house car.
That's it. By George, you've got it.
Yeah.
I'll do it right now. Luke, old boy, you're a prince, sir. A prince. What a joke this will be on Letitia. Yeah,
it certainly will be a joke. But, Windy, I think I'd better talk to her. From what you've told me, I gather that Letitia sort of lost some of her faith in you.
Well, that's right. I'm afraid she has. But never mind, I trust you to do a good job of...
Promoting?
Yes, promoting, as I do myself.
Thanks. I think I've got the hang of your methods pretty well. Now, why don't you come along to the office? We can call the fair Letitia. Have her come down and settle the whole thing right now.
Fine. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, Luke. Look here, won't you have a cup of coffee on me?
No, thanks. Gotta go.
A cigar?
No, the fun I'll get out of this will be ample payment. No, come on.
Payment? Yes, I suppose I ought to... A commission seems to be called for.
Oh, no, Windy. I'm doing this for my own satisfaction entirely.
I can't let you, Luke. Bill Winkle isn't that kind of man. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you
2%. 2%? Well, that's just like you, Windy. All right, I'll take 2% of everything you get out of the Winkle Little Wonder house car.
Don't laugh, Luke. That'll amount to real money. I'll run that buyer's price up to 40, 50, a cool half million. See if I don't.
Oh, why all this gouging? Isn't $30,000 enough for you?
Oh, chicken feed. Why, this is a big corporation I'm going to deal with. Do you think I'd let them get away with that?
Oh, your idea is that the value of your car increases with the size of the company you sell it to?
Of course not. Why, that's not reasonable. The idea is, if the company is big, make them pay. Mm. The big fellows in business have always gypped the public. The little fellows...
What makes you think that the size of the company has anything to do with its honesty or its policy or any of its virtues?
Why, anybody knows that...
Why not be logical, then? If you're going to rate a thing's virtues by its size, Monte Carlo would be the best country in the world because it's the smallest. And the United States would be among the worst because it's one of the biggest. It doesn't seem to me to make sense.
It doesn't, the way you put it. But you know that big businesses are bad, or how could they have gotten big?
The same way this country got big, by growing. Every big company was a small company once. Why should it change from good to bad just by growing? You can't convince me that a big company is any more wicked than a little one, any more than a little one is better than a big one.
Well, I don't actually know, but everybody says...
Hearsay evidence never was any good. Your mind never seems to have risen above the level of people who believe that all Chinese are laundrymen.
Well, now, we won't fight about it, eh, Lukey? We're pals, aren't we?
Oh, yes, I forgot for the moment. We're partners in a tidy bit of skullduggery. All is forgiven. After you, my dear Windy.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, here we are. Oh,
yes. Come into my parlor, as the spider said to the fly.
Oh, Lukey, you're always kidding.
Morning, Miss McGillicuddy.
Good morning, Mr. Robinson.
Run along into my office, Windy. I'll be with you in a minute. Miss McGillicuddy, call my house and hurry.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Robinson, is anything the matter?
No, everything is all right. Hurry.
Oh, well, forevermore, the way you said it, I thought surely something had
happened. Miss McGillicuddy.
Oh, yes, Mr. Robinson. Cedar 461. Hello, Mrs. Robinson. Yeah, this is Miss McGillicuddy down at the office. Yes, how are you? Did you get that recipe that I...
I'd like to talk to her.
Oh, yes, I tried it, but I left out the baking powder. Wasn't that silly?
Miss McGillicuddy, give me the phone.
What? Oh, yeah, Mr. Robinson wants to talk to you.
Hello, Myra. Is Miss Timmons there? Coming down here. Oh, darn it, I wanted to talk to her first. Oh, yes, it worked fine. Yes, he's all ready to trade. If she doesn't forget her lines. Yes, I'll let you know. Goodbye. Miss McGillicuddy, if Miss Timmons comes in, be sure to ring my phone. I want to see her out here before...
There you are.
Why, Miss...
Well, I guess you agree now about me being the Sarah Byrne heart of Centerville, don't you?
Quiet. Miss Timmons, he's in there now.
Bill Winkle?
Yes. Oh. Who's that?
That? Why, that's my friend. Gus Olson. Nice young fella, too. Gus, this is Luke Robinson.
Luke Robinson, eh? Stick him up. Come on, put him up.
What's your idea?
Oh, Gus Olson, whatever in the world are you doing?
Come on now. Don't try anything funny or I'll plug you. It's all right, boss. You can come out now. I got him covered.
What's going on here? Gus, what are you doing? Stop that right away.
Gee, boss, this is the guy, ain't it?
Oh, what guy? Why, this is my brother-in-law, Luke. Now stop waving that gun at him.
But didn't you hire me to...
Oh, that was a mistake. Luke is my best friend.
Listen, I don't get it. First he's after you, and then... Oh, I get it. He's on this, job that you're trying to frame on this lady.
Why, Gus, you must be crazy. Mr. Robinson is my very best friend.
Somebody's crazy. First you're all running around putting each other on the spot, then you turn out to be palsy-walsies. I don't get it.
Don't try to get it, Gus. I'm afraid the pace is a little fast for you. You better stay out here and talk to Miss McGillicuddy while we go into my office and straighten out our own problem.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, please don't leave me alone with him. He's dangerous.
Now, don't worry. He's quite harmless. Unless you try to confuse him.
Why, I wouldn't hurt your little girl. You remind me of my own sister.
Go away, please, you gangster.
Now, listen, lady. You oughtn't to say a thing like that. It makes me feel bad. Anyhow, you got me wrong. I ain't a gangster. I'm a bodyguard. Gus the bodyguard. Why, I wouldn't be a gangster. What would me mother think?
Well, I should think it's about time you thought of your mother. Going around poking guns at people, aren't you ashamed?
But, lady, what's a bodyguard good for if he ain't got a gun? I wouldn't hike nobody with it. Look, it ain't even loaded.
No, now take it away. Mr. Olson, you seem to be good at heart. Why don't you give up this life of crime and go straight, huh?
Well, I am thinking of quitting. It's a mug's game. Now you take this job. First, the Swinko says, get this guy. Then he says, don't get this guy. He's my friend. Then I teams up with this Letitia Timmons. She starts calling herself Sarah Bernstein or something, and, well, it's enough to make a man go to wife.
Then you will reform? Oh, I'm so glad. All you need is the inspiration of a good woman.
Sure, my mother.
Yes, of course, your mother. But I mean you need a guiding hand. Now, I've always wanted to reform somebody, and I might as well start with you. Now, are you willing to put yourself in my hands and forsake your low companions?
Sure, anything you say, lady.
Good. Now, the first thing to do is get you a job.
I know there'd be a catch on it.
Yes, I shall speak to Mr. Robinson about it right away. I think you ought to work here where I can keep you from slipping.
Okay, I'll take the job. How much?
Oh, well, I don't know. I suppose you'd have to start at about $10.
$10 a day. That's not bad. Of course, it's kind of a come down. But...
Oh, gracious, no, Mr. Olson. $10 a week. But then, you see, you could work up and, oh, who knows, you may become a famous editor someday with your picture in the paper and all. And then underneath it would say, I owe it all to the little girl who showed me how to go straight.
Hey, wait a minute. I guess you don't know who I am yet. I'm Gus. All these big shots know me. But Scarlatti himself treats me like a brother. Puts his hand on my shoulder when I meet him on the street. Hiya, punk, he says. You can't offer a guy like that $10 a week.
Ma, but Mr. Olson, everybody has to start at the bottom. Look at Henry Ford.
Your father?
Oh, of course not, silly. My name's McGillicuddy. But look at the captains of industry. Where would they be if they hadn't started at the bottom? Nowhere, that's where they'd be. As it is, starting at the bottom like that, now they're sitting in big offices directing people, and that's where you'll be, too.
You mean a big office with a secretary and two phones?
Mm-hmm, sure. Won't you do it for me?
I assure you, Miss Timmons, you'll never regret having taken back your charming little home.
You're darned right I won't.
You see, it'll take a real businessman, a man of experience, to handle a deal like selling the house car.
It'll take a miracle man to handle that deal.
A miracle man?
She means all the details. Women don't understand about the details of a deal like that. Well, it's all settled then, and you'll hand over the deed to Miss Timmons tomorrow?
Only too glad. Oh, you're a lucky woman, Miss Timmons.
Well, I'll be going now. Oh, Mr. Olson, are you going my way?
Oh, me? I ain't going nowhere.
You better explain to Mr. Olson that you've changed your mind about the patent. We don't want him shooting Wendy yet a while.
That's good, because I couldn't have done it anyways. I'm a reformed character. I work here now.
You what?
Sure, I work here now. The little lady just hired me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Robinson. I had a little trouble convincing him, but he finally consented.
Oh, my sainted aunt. Wendy, you brought this man into my life.
Oh, yes, to be sure. Well, I must run along. Coming, Miss Hill?
Why, Mr. Robinson, what's the matter?
Miss McGillicuddy, do you mind telling me what you hired this person as?
I'm a starter, boss. All the big shots are starters.
Starter? You mean a doorman?
No. What do you think I am? I'm a starter at the bottom, you know. And pretty soon I gets to be an editor.
Oh, is that so? Well, look here. It just happens that this newspaper belongs to me.
And you don't want me. Is that what you're going to say, Guy?
Oh, well, of course, if you put it that way. The Herald has always felt an acute need for a starter at the bottom. And now, Miss McGillicuddy, if you can get your protégé to put away his artillery, I'd like to speak to you in my office.
Poor Luke seems to have gotten the great Gus wished on him permanently now, and the Herald can count a starter at the bottom among its assets. What will Wendy do when he finds out that there is no automobile manufacturer who wants to buy the house car? Join us in our next program and see. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett, directed by Martha Atwell, and produced by the National Industrial Council.